Welcome to the Women's Wellness Psychiatry Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Anna Glazer, MD, a reproductive and integrative psychiatrist here to help you make sense of the complex world of women's mental health. If your goal is to improve your emotional well-being, find fulfillment, and feel like your best self, you're in the right place. Welcome, my listener friends. This episode is coming out on Father's Day, and so we're going to talk today about paternal postpartum mental health. Before we dive in and get started, just a reminder to please take a moment now to rate and review this podcast. It takes just a second on your phone and really helps others find this valuable content. And for those of you who are clinicians interested in integrative mental health, don't forget that there's only a couple of weeks left to register for the online fellowship program. And the link to that is in the show notes page. So let's jump in and talk about paternal postpartum mental health. Talking about this today on Father's Day, and some may call that a Hallmark holiday, but the purpose is really to take the time to celebrate those who are fathers and grandfathers. In perinatal mental health, more than 90% of the time is spent discussing maternal mental health, which really leaves little discussion to focus on paternal mental health. And we know that 20% of mothers experience postpartum depression. But did you know that 1 in 10 fathers, about 10% of fathers, experience postpartum depression as well? And almost 1 in 5 experience a form of anxiety postpartum. And one of the most significant risk factors is maternal postpartum depression. So if there's someone out there, a couple, where mom has postpartum depression, the rate of postpartum depression is increased to 25 to 50%. So that's a significant number of individuals, of couples who may be struggling postpartum. There is not a lot of research out there on paternal postpartum mental health. Some of the earliest research focuses on a condition called COVAD syndrome, which essentially is sympathetic pregnancy. It's when an individual, a male partner of a woman who is pregnant, experiences some of the symptoms of pregnancy alongside their partner. So that could be weight gain, nausea, or insomnia. And rates of that are really variable. Anywhere from a tenth to half of individuals experience some of these pregnancy-related symptoms along with their partner. But let's focus today on specifically postpartum depression. There are a number of predisposing, precipitating factors that can lead to an individual struggling with this condition. As I mentioned previously, one of the most significant risk factors is maternal postpartum depression. And there's a number of reasons why that's the case. One reason is if there's an individual, a woman who has postpartum depression, she's less able to provide interpersonal support. And we know that interpersonal support and connection are really important for preventing postpartum depression. When this resource is no longer available, that can increase the risk of paternal postpartum depression. When mom has postpartum depression, it likely also means that she's not able to as well, perhaps take care of herself and the baby. And that means that the father is placed in the position of having to provide more childcare for the infant than they would otherwise potentially be expecting. And that could mean increased awake time overnight, increased insomnia, less opportunity for rest, and less sleep, we know, equals increased risk for depression. For example, I've been working with a woman who delivered twins and really struggled with postpartum depression symptoms. And what ended up happening is that the partner ended up doing most of the overnight care in order to allow his partner to sleep. We know that sleep is medicine. That means that this dad is spending their nights caring for the infants and then also heading to work in the morning during the day in order to really allow his spouse to focus on her recovery and her mental health. Now, that does put dad at increased risk because, again, sleep equals medicine. Another potential risk factor is an individual who has a history of depression personally or a family history of depression. We know that a prior individual or family history of depression increases the risk that someone would develop postpartum depression, and that's true for both mothers and fathers. Another potential risk factor is financial stress and fewer financial resources. And we know why that might be the case. Besides the fact that increased stress increases levels of cortisol, anxiety, and worry, that also means that there are fewer resources for additional help. Less help equals more stress equals higher risk factors for postpartum depression. And the last risk factor that I want to mention here is when there might be some issues with the family of origin, meaning how father grew up and what kind of models did dad have when growing up as a child? How was his father's experience with the family? What kind of models did he have around them in addition to his father? Were there other male role models? And what did those role models model in terms of parenting and fatherhood? If these weren't particularly positive or helpful role models, then that's going to lead to increased stress and vulnerability postpartum and an increased risk of postpartum depression. So there are a number of predisposing risk factors. There are also a number of precipitating factors that lead to the onset of symptoms. The first I want to mention is hormonal changes. Yes, men have hormones too. Testosterone, estrogen, cortisol, vasopressin, which is related to oxytocin, and prolactin, they can all change. There's some interesting data on lower testosterone levels in men towards the end of their partner's pregnancy. And while that can be associated with lower aggression and therefore better attachment, so there's an evolutionary reason for that, it could also increase the susceptibility to depression. All of these hormones are changing for men around pregnancy and postpartum, and that could potentially lead to precipitation of certain kinds of mood changes. The other precipitating factor, which I've alluded to a few times, is sleep deprivation. We know that, I'll say it again, sleep is medicine. And when there's significant sleep deprivation, that could basically turn the on switch to a vulnerable state of postpartum depression in someone who was already at risk. There can be several psychological challenges postpartum for fathers as well. One of the most common ones that I hear about and that I see in my partners is a sense of feeling excluded. There's often a lot of mother-baby bonding time and focus on mother-baby bonding. There's a lot of time that a mom might spend breastfeeding. And so much support and marketing centers on mothers postpartum. Some of you may have seen that movie, Fatherhood, with Kevin Hart. And there's this classic scene when he enters a postpartum support group and he enters the room and there's a lot of mothers already sitting there with their infants. Some are breastfeeding, kind of talking about support. And he's initially directed by the leader of the group to another meeting down hall, as if it's impossible that a man could potentially want to join a postpartum support group. That's an example of how so much of what we think about postpartum really focuses on mom, and we don't spend a lot of time focusing on dad. So dad can feel oftentimes excluded, societally speaking, but also in the family unit. There's a lot of time that's spent in mother and baby bonding, and that could also lead to changes in intimacy with the partner postpartum. Feeling excluded can definitely be a psychological challenge for fathers postpartum. The other psychological challenge is that there's a lot of changing expectations in today's society for fathers postpartum, but there might not necessarily be a role model. Societal expectations have changed for fathers in recent decades, but that's different than the models that they saw growing up. And so without having that model in order to help them understand how to be the kind of partner and parent that meets those expectations, that can be very psychologically challenging. So what does postpartum depression look like in fathers? It could be symptoms of low mood or an irritable mood that's sometimes not necessarily recognized with depression. There's a sense of, oh, it must mean I'm feeling sad. But it doesn't have to be feeling sad. It could actually be feeling more irritable. There can be a sense of helplessness or feelings of inadequacy. Anxiety co-occurs often, and there can sometimes be obsessive thoughts as well. The other important thing to recognize, in addition to these symptoms, is that the timeline can oftentimes be more gradual than it is with maternal postpartum depression. Oftentimes, paternal postpartum depression onsets several months rather than several weeks postpartum. Postpartum paternal depression affects not just dad, although of course dad is suffering with feelings of depression, it also affects the entire family unit. It impacts the marital relationship, and it can also impact the neurodevelopment of the child. Depression can often lead to increased irritability and hostility, and that can lead to increased mental health and behavioral issues in the child. There are some general studies of paternal depression and the impacts on children, and we can extrapolate from those the impact on postpartum infant's attachment and well-being. A secure attachment develops during infancy and childhood, and that's really hard to do with a depressed parent. Finally, the last impact I want to mention is that it can lead to an increased risk of violence. Paternal postpartum depression can lead to an increased risk of interpersonal violence in the home. And postpartum is the time of highest vulnerability for women in terms of interpersonal violence. So depression can make that risky situation worse. The good news is that there are a lot of treatment options for paternal postpartum depression. The very first thing I want to emphasize is the role of support, education, awareness, and screening. You can't treat something unless you know that it's happening. The very first step in all of this is recognizing that there is paternal postpartum depression, that it's not as rare as one might suspect. In fact, it affects about 1 in 10 individuals, and that it has significant impact on the entire family unit. The number of different treatment options are as varied as there are for general depression. There's a lot of data that certain kinds of medications and pharmacotherapy can be very effective. Psychotherapy, such as cognitive behavioral therapy or interpersonal therapy, IPT and CBT, can be very valuable tools. Mind-body tools like mindfulness, for example, can be valuable, along with a focus on self-care, including things like physical activity and nutrition, all of which can help manage symptoms of postpartum depression in fathers. The last intervention I want to mention is more at the societal level: recognition and value of paternity leave. While there are a few companies that recognize paternity leave and allow for a significant amount of time, 3, 4, 6 months, there are many companies that really allow just 2 weeks, and some don't even offer that. This is such an important time for bonding, attachment, for recovery, and for the development of the new family unit. Longer paternity leave time would really allow for all of these important psychological and physiological transitions to take place and would likely decrease the rates of postpartum paternal depression. So this Father's Day, I do hope that this podcast helps to increase the awareness of postpartum paternal depression and helps all the dads out there who may be struggling finally be able to seek the care and treatment that they need. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode. As you know, my goal is to share with you the most helpful information that moves you towards emotional well-being. If you have suggestions or questions, I'd love to hear those. And I also always appreciate a rating that will help others find this valuable content. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again next week. Please note that while I am a clinical doctor, this podcast is not a substitute for nor should be taken as medical advice. No specific health advice is being given on this podcast, and no physician-client relationship is created by you listening to this podcast. All information provided on this podcast is for informational purposes only.